And I'd like you to take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. And we're going to just go through the scriptures tonight just to see God's heart and how he wants his word moved and how we're to move his word with him and for him and by him. And we have to remember that it's God that does the work. He gives us the works to do. It's not that we look to do work and we manufacture something for ourselves, but that we really are going to God, seeking his direction and looking for those doors that he's opening. And he really does open them. And in Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And this word vision in this record here is revelation. So where there is no revelation, where God is not revealing the truth, or where something's hid from our eyes, we can't really move in that direction. We've got nowhere to aim for, nowhere to go, no direction. But God hasn't hid anything from us now, okay? So God has revealed so that we don't wander aimlessly. He's given us direction. He's shown us from his word how we're to move, how we're to live, how we're to have our being. And God has given us his vision, which is to move his word all over the world. So how are we going to move his word all over the world? Do we just make up our minds that we're going to go and speak to every single people we meet, or go to every church or every synagogue or where there's a gathering of people? Or do we be led by God? Do we allow God to show us where to go? And that's how we're going to hit the right places at the right times, is when we go with God and we are led by his spirit to do the things that he wants us to do. But one of the things that we learned a few years ago, which is always in my heart, and I wanted to go back over it, is that the one thing God does want us to do, because nothing happens without prayer, and that is to pray for the labourers. So let's go to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to see what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. In Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 35 through to 38, and it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." They had no leader, they had no one to guide them. When people don't have someone to guide them, they're scattered. And we know that the devil, it is Smite the Shepherd to scatter the sheep. Devil, he wants division, where God has given us a vision, and that is to move his word. And Jesus Christ has shown us how we move God's word. "Then said his disciples," in verse 37, "the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." So the harvest of souls outside are plenteous. There's so many people that need to hear this gospel of deliverance, this gospel of the kingdom, this gospel concerning Jesus Christ, but the labourers, those that work for God, are few. So this is what Jesus Christ said about this situation. In verse 38 he said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest." And this word pray means desire or to long for. Okay, we're to desire and long to the Lord of the harvest for the labourers. The ones that are going to really connect to God, connect to those that are moving with God for those labourers. Okay, that they're going to pray also for the labourers, and they're going to move with God, and they're going to desire with great desire. So Jesus also instructed not just these disciples, but the other 70 also. So we go to Luke chapter 10 and we'll see this. Luke chapter 10, and in verse 1 to 2 it says, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray," and it's the same word, desire, "to long for ye the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." So our job is to go to God in prayer. When we go to God with longing and desire that he has sent forth those labourers, he will. Because God's desire is that all men be saved and that all men come unto a knowledge of the truth. It's okay having Bible studies and classes and stuff like that, but our true job is to get out there and to preach the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. And we do this led by God. Like, God will give us the works to do, because he's going to give us those works if we're desiring, if we're praying for open doors. If we're praying and seeking his direction, he will open those doors for us. And I want to go you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, just to show you about this prayer and this word that is the same Greek word used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in verse 10 it says, Paul was saying, night and day praying, same word, desire to long for, exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So Paul had a great desire and he had a great longing to see these believers face to face. He wanted to be amongst those people so that he could perfect that which was lacking in their believing. And that's what gift ministers also do. They perfect that which is lacking in people's faith, to build them up, to feed them the things that God wants them to be fed, so that they can be strong, they can be nourished. And when someone takes that teaching or that instruction to their heart and applies it, they're going to get results. Okay, they're going to be blessed. But a lot of people, they come to fellowships, not just this one, I'm talking about many fellowships around the world, they get blessed for that one teaching and off they go living their own life. But it's about really wanting the things that God wants. That's the desire that we pray for those labourers. You really want those labourers. And the only way you're going to get them is when you pray to the Lord of the harvest. He's going to force them out. This word that he will send forth is the Greek word ekbulo, which means to throw out with force. God will throw them out. He's looking for people to pray for labourers. Are you praying for a labourer? Are you praying God's desire? God's desire that he wants all men to be saved. And we have this great responsibility and privilege to hold forth his word and to reach out to others. Okay, but we got to do it God's way. When we do it in our way, we'll have hit and miss. But every time we do it God's way, God will open up those wonderful doors where he can send forth those labourers. But we need to practice and go to God. We need to desire and long for those labourers. We need to desire and long for to see the word move all over the world. That's our vision. See, we need a vision. Remember, I started off with Proverbs 29:18, and that vision is for his word to go throughout all the inhabited earth. God wants everyone to have that opportunity to hear the gospel of concerning Jesus Christ, that they can become born again, filled with the Spirit of God, they can move with God. So we start with prayer. God wants us to make known our prayers. We desire and long to God for the labourers. That's what God wants us to do. I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're all familiar with this one. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, now unto him, who? God, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So God wants us to be bold, right? He wants us to be bold to speak his word. And so I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about boldness. But again, God determines that boldness and the heart behind that boldness. So we go to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to look through the records of this being bold. Bold to speak. Because if we're going to pray for labourers, we need to be bold to speak his word. So the first thing that God wants us to do is to pray for those labourers. Okay? With desire, with a longing for those things. And then he wants us to be bold to declare him, to make known him, to make known his son, that they can have a wonderful life, that they can have an eternal life by confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord. And in Acts chapter 9 and in verse 26 it says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Don't forget, Saul was persecuting the church. This is the Apostle Paul, and is known by his name here as Saul. He had two names, Saul, his Hebrew name, and Paul, his Greek name. But they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus Christ. So Barnabas said, look, this guy, he's seen the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus, he's born again, and I've seen him preach the word boldly. And this word boldly simply means to be frank in utterance or confident in spirit. So Paul was very bold and confident, the Spirit of God working in him, and he was frank. He spoke plainly to the people. He spoke what needed to be spoken. And in verse 28, and it says, and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And verse 29, and he spake boldly, that is to be frank in utterance or confident in spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed amongst the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So Paul just spoke the truth as it was. He spoke the things as it is. And that's what we have to do as believers. We speak the truth and we don't back down on that truth. We don't go to the left or to the right of that truth. But we say what is right and what is right on concerning to God's word, concerning his son. And we speak it with confidence. We speak it plainly. Let's have a look again in Acts chapter 13. It says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. Okay, so this is the same Greek word, and it means to be frank in utterance or confident in the spirit. They became bold. They just spoke it out. They was inspired, they was energized, and said it was necessary that the word of God should have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourself of unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And I want to go to Acts 19 while we're in the area. So I'm just looking at records that are showing us that we're to pray with desire. Okay, we're to pray with a longing for those labourers. That we're making God's desire our desire. If Jesus Christ spoke this, then it's still good for us today. Right? That's the way that we get the labourers. And we're not looking for... We just want one person that's going to listen. One person that's going to take it to their heart and connect to what's being said. Connect to God, connect to the one that's feeding them, and they're going to be fruitful. They're going to really move mighty, do mighty works, mighty acts with God. Paul done mighty acts with God. Peter done mighty acts with God. These guys had God first in their life, and they prayed to the Father for his will. And God was able to do his work by them. He provided the work for them to do. In Acts 19, verse 1, and we're going to go through this record, and it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there is any Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And he said unto that, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. See, that's it. People born again of the Spirit of God, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly. He was frank in what he had to say, and he was confident in the Spirit. For the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. He had some people to work with. They had questions. They were probably arguing with him certain points. But he was very bold in what he had to say. He stuck to the plan of what God worked in his heart and the truth that he knew. And he declared it boldly to him. Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians. We see that Paul, this boldness isn't about shouting. But it's about saying the truth plainly and simply with great confidence. And God wants us to speak his word with boldness, with confidence, that when we're preaching to others, that we tell them as it is, as the scriptures say, as what Jesus Christ made available, as what God made available through his stand, through his son. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, and it says, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Paul was saying, look, I want you guys to pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. And this word boldly means all outspokenness, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly. It's a different Greek word, and it means to be frank in utterance or confident in spirit, as I ought to speak. So, you know, we can be outspoken, right? In other words, we say what needs to be said if it's going to get to the person and set them free from and bring them from darkness to light. We can't pussyfoot about with words, but we have to say what God says and mean what we say and say what we mean, because God means what he says and he says what he means. He doesn't compromise with his word. He's magnified his word above all his name. He's put great emphasis on his word. And the scriptures say that he watches over his word to perform it. So when we believe his word to us and we take a stand on that word, we're going to see great things happen. Right? But God is the one that does that work as we do what he shows us to do. I want to show you a different context in boldness. And it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 says, in whom we have boldness, that's all outspokenness, and access with confidence by the faith of him. See, we have boldness with God. We can really speak with God all that's in our heart, and we can make known our desires to him. We don't have to be afraid. God is not saying no to us when we go to him, especially when it comes to praying for laborers, praying for those that are in authority, praying for all men to be saved, praying for open doors, praying for the things that God wants us to do. And we all have our own ideas maybe of how we think the word's going to move, but it's God is the one that's going to move his word. We just labour in vain if it's not led by God. If God's blessing is not on what we're doing, we're not going to see anything happen. But when we go to God and we're led by the Spirit of God, we're going to see great things happen. And God wants us to connect to him. He wants us to follow his pattern. The things that he shows from his words, the truth that he reveals, the vision that he reveals to us, so that when we keep that, we can be happy, we can be blessed, like it says in that Proverbs 29:18. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. And I just love these wonderful records. I was just reminded of these wonderful truths that we learnt some years ago, but have been practicing. And God is faithful. You know, God really wants all men to be saved. And he's got a way that he does that. And Jesus Christ showed that way. And Jesus Christ said, you know, I do nothing of myself. What I see the Father do, that's what I do. That's our heart. We want to do the things that God sets before us. And when we do those things, then we're going to see great expansion. We'll see great rise in the people and great expansion. But it's up to those that are receiving this to take it to their hearts, to really go to God with it, make it their own. To learn these things, to put them in your heart, and then to put it into practice. You need to practice doing this. Practice praying for the laborers. Make it your desire. Make God's desire your desire. If you want your things to be taken care of, you take care of God's things. Like God shared with me many years ago when I went full-time for him. He said, Lawrence, you take care of my business and I'll take care of yours. And God is faithful when we do that. And it's a step out into the unknown when I've done that. And sometimes we have to step out into the unknown, but if we're trusting God, then we know that he's going to direct us. We know that he's going to provide for us, that he's going to open those doors for us, that he'll get us to the place where he wants us to be for his glory, for his purposes. Romans chapter 1 says, this is what Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If you're going to be bold in speaking his word, you can't be ashamed of this gospel. Why? For it is the power of God. the message that we got is the power of God. Right? This word of reconciliation is the power of God. This gospel of Christ is the power of God. This is what brings people from darkness to light, from error to truth. Because there's so much error out there. There's so much religion out there. And religion isn't God. Religion is man-made. Okay, but having a pure heart with God, that's true religion. Having a pure heart to God, to do what he shows, to follow what he's directing. Verse 17, I jumped ahead. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation means wholeness, deliverance, made whole. To everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, this word is a word of faith. And when we trust those words, then we act upon those words, we see great things happen. God is a faith God. We can't do anything without having that confidence and trust in our God. Okay, it's impossible to please God without that faith in him and that faith towards him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, we know that we got Christ in us, but to be in him is that we're putting on that word, that mind of Christ. We're allowing that our mind is lined up with the heart of God to do his will, not our will. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That old you is dead. You have to reckon that old, your old life, your old ways dead. And let that Christ live in you. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, resurrection, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we got this wonderful privilege. That's our ministry. Everyone's got that. That's born again of the Spirit of God. You've got the privilege and sonship to reconcile people back to God, just like Jesus Christ did. Okay, he reconciled people back to God. He connected people to God. And that's our job. We connect people to God. And we give them encouragement. And we feed them the truth so that they can walk in deliverance. They can walk in their sonship. And that they can walk in what Christ has made available to them. Verse 19, to know that God was in Christ. See, God was working in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So we can see, just in that sense alone, that God was doing the work through Christ. God does the work, not counting their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. See, God will speak by your mouth those things that those people need to come back to God. But we have to hold it forth. We have to be bold in our speech, plain in utterance, confident with that Spirit of God in us. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then, right now, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So reconciled in our hearts, in our minds, in our living, in our conduct. For he hath made him to be sin for us, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So everything has been made available to us. We just need to walk in that new man. We need to put on that mind of Christ. We need to receive that word and walk in the power of that word and practice those things that we're shown from that word to do. And one of those things is to pray for laborers. One of those things is to desire strongly. You know, we desire, we long for those laborers, and we're to be bold in our speech. And we tell people about what God has made available. We tell them about the great benefits, eternal life, that they can come from darkness to light. that they can enjoy a life now that God has made available in Christ. They don't have to wait until they get to heaven. But right now, they can begin to manifest that abundance that God wants them to have in their lives. That peace, that love, that joy, that fruit of the Spirit. And that's, you know, there's many benefits. And we just have to remind the people of the benefits of God. And His love, His compassion. And His power, His authority. And you have authority in Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whosoever believeth on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jews and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Right, so who's going to speak the word then? And it says in verse 14 of chapter Romans 10, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone's got to go. Someone's got to speak, but someone's got to be doing the praying. Right, praying to God for those laborers, praying for those open doors, praying that we can speak the word boldly as we ought to speak. Verse 14, how shall they call him whom they have not heard, not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who have believed our report? So then, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sounds went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. And that's God's heart. He wants his word to go throughout the whole inhabited world, and there's a way to do it. And the way that we do that is that we go to God. We desire for the laborers. It has to be a desire in your heart. It has to be a longing in your heart that you're giving that to God. And then he's going to send you that one person that will shake up the area where you are, that will shake up the place. Okay, but we got to take this word to our heart. We got to make this word our own. We got to see the things ourselves from the scriptures. So I just wanted to just go back over that teaching that we learned many years ago about praying for laborers. Because it's still a truth today. It's still alive today. And that's how God's word's going to move, because that's how God set it up. So when we move in the blueprint of God and his heart, and when we're bold to speak his word, then things can happen. God will raise up men and women that are bold. There's many people right now in the city of Bristol, in the United Kingdom, and around the world, and around the cities of the world, that are still sat in darkness. There's many labourers waiting to be sent forth. Okay, we need to get praying. We need to ask God to give us his word, to give us that one labourer where we can reach out for many, and that we're ready to do what God wants us to do. And that's the other thing. We've got to be ready to do what God wants us to do. And if we are doing what God wants us to do, then there's going to be fruit. So, just for you to consider and go over those scriptures again yourself. I pray that you got blessed and inspired. So, God bless you.